Song after the lesson will be number 326. 326. I'd like to encourage you also to add to your prayer list someone that I failed to mention to Mark. Janine Grisham has a friend that went into the hospital Friday and had some complications with childbirth. The child is doing okay, but her life was severely threatened. Fortunately, as of yesterday, things were stabilized and she's doing a lot better, but she's in the hospital. Her name is Melissa, and I know that Deneen and all the rest of us would appreciate you adding Melissa to your prayer list. I'd like to thank you for being here. We're very blessed with a number of visitors, and we're very honored that you have chosen to come and to be with us, and I'd like to thank you for encouraging me today so much with your worship, and I pray and hope that our worship together, of course, ultimately has been pleasing to God and glorifying Him. There's an Old Testament text, first of all, that is found in the Psalm 37 and verse 37. It says, "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." The word mark basically means to scope out, or it means to observe carefully. And the psalmist says, observe carefully the man who is blameless, and observe carefully the one who is upright. And the reason is because the future of that man is peace. There's another passage over in the book of Proverbs that is somewhat related to that. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, where Solomon says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." So the instruction is, listen to wisdom today so that tomorrow, in the future, you can be wise. Now, both of those passages relate to the fact that you have control, some degree, over your future. The question that we're dealing with today is, just what does my future hold? Over the last several weeks, we've looked at five questions that are commonly asked on college campuses. The Barna Group, which you can find on the internet, did a survey across the country, going to colleges and universities across our country, and they found that there were five common questions that college students were asking about God. And question number five is the one that we're dealing with today. What does my future hold? First of all, I want to consider this morning that there are three things that we need to know about the future. Number one, that God is in control. And in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and in verse 11, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, we notice that David says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all." The reality is that God rules this world. He is the sovereign ruler of this world, the creator of everything, that there is nothing in this world that is subject to the whims of man. Whatever happens in the future, you need to know that God is in control. Number two, you need to know that time and chance cannot be ignored. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, Solomon says, "I returned and saw the saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." There are some things that simply function within the realm of time and chance, that are a result of time and chance. You know, we can take all the calculations and make all the predictions, but unfortunately, sometimes there are some things that just sort of defy our calculations and that defy our forecast. And I believe that God can use these things for His purposes, but the reality is that time and chance cannot be ignored. Number three, you need to know that we are ignorant about the future. In fact, in the book of James, the 4th chapter, James speaks of the folly of some in making specific plans for tomorrow. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, we notice that James says, "Come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Now, I know someone may have come and thought, well, today George is going to look into some crystal ball or have some special insight and prophecy, and he's going to be able to specifically tell me what will happen tomorrow. Well, if you came for that, I'm sorry, because I'm just as ignorant as you are about what will happen tomorrow. The reality is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And James speaks of the folly of those who make plans, such plans. He says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, and your life is nothing but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Now, some might look at these three facts and say, well, then what can I do? What can I do about tomorrow? In fact, some might even develop this somewhat cynical, fatalistic view of life. Well, God's Word assures us that there is indeed something that you and I can do about our future. I want us to look at those two passages again that we looked at the first. What can I do? The psalmist says, "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." What I can do today about tomorrow is I can choose today to be a righteous and blameless individual. Today I can choose to serve God, and the promise of God is that if I will choose to serve Him, that in some form or fashion, then my future will be a peaceful one. Then in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 20, this is something that moms and dads do a great deal with children. "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." How many times do we tell young people, listen to mom and dad. Listen to the wisdom of grandma and grandpa. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon, because the choices that you make today may indeed affect your future. The things you say and do, the places that you go, the career that you may choose, the person that you choose to marry. Listen to the voice of wisdom, because the choices that you make today may indeed affect your future. The promise of Solomon is, listen to counsel and receive instruction so that in your latter day, so that in your future, you can also be a wise individual. So the reality is that while God's in control and we are subject to time and chance, the reality is that yes, indeed, there are some things that we can do about our future. Let's look at that. Let's examine that a little bit further. What does my future hold and what can I do? Well, number one, I can be a Christian. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. And in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6, I want you to notice something that Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 6. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." There are two action words that I want you to notice in verse 6. Number one, as you have received Christ. Number two, so walk in Him. Now, it don't matter who you are today, there are two things that you can do about your future. Number one, if you have not received Jesus, you can receive Him. And number two, if you have already received Him, then you can continue to walk in the Lord. Two things that these people did. First of all, they had heard the gospel and they saw the great potential of the gospel. The good news was preached The death, burial, and resurrection was preached, and they believed it, and they received it, and accepted it. In fact, in the same chapter, in verses 11 and 12, Paul describes that process. He says, "And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You heard the gospel, you believed it, and you obeyed it, and you were buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk this wonderful and new life, new in relationship. If you've never done that, today you have an opportunity to make a difference in your future. Today you can come to Christ on His terms and become a child of God. But number two, if you have already obeyed God, if you have already been baptized into Christ, then you can also follow the exhortation of Paul of continuing to walk in Him. As you have received Him, Paul says now you need to walk. And there is a wonderful promise found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God gives me that opportunity. And today, I have the opportunity to do something about my future. I can walk in the Lord. I can walk in the light. And I can strive to be faithful to Him. So if I'm alive today, there are two things that I can do. I can receive Jesus, and I can walk in Him. You see, God gives us the capacity of self-determination. While there are some things in the future we have no control over, the reality is that the choices that we make today can indeed affect our future. So I can be a Christian. Number two, I can press on. In the book of Philippians, the third chapter, and in verse 13 and 14, Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." One thing that I can do as a Christian is that I can be like Paul and I can press on. One of the remarkable things about the statement that Paul writes here is, first of all, the great accomplishments that he had made. Stood before kings and men of authority. Had traveled to various places preaching the gospel. But Paul says, "I'm not through. I still have work to do. I'm not arrived yet." And I can tell you and assure you that if Paul hasn't arrived, then I can tell you George hasn't arrived. There are still things that you and I can do. We can press toward that goal of living like Jesus so that we might receive the prize. I can press on. There's another thing that is quite remarkable about this statement, and that is that this letter was written by a prisoner. Paul had literally been placed into prison because of his proclamation of the gospel. The reality is that just like you and I, there are some things that Paul had no control over. But the circumstances did not change the choices and the determination. Paul says, "I'm in prison, but there's one thing I want you to know. I am still pressing on. So what can I do about my future?" Well, I can press on. I can run that race. You know, we're in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. There is a statement made by the Hebrew writer that relates to that. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. In Hebrews 6 and verses 11 and 12. Where the Hebrew writer says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and perseverance or patience inherit the promises." I can press on. That's something I can do today about my future. Then number three, I can rest in God's care. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the latter part of Romans chapter 8, we find one of the most comforting statements made in all the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, and I begin with verse 37. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Notice in this great victory statement that Paul mentions in verse 38 things that are present. But also not only that, but things to come. That is, things in the future. He says there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Now you can choose to walk away from God anytime you want. But God will always love you. And there is nothing in your future that will separate you from the fact that God cares and loves you. You know, people say, well, I just fret about the future. I just don't know what tomorrow brings. Well, you know, I don't know what tomorrow brings either. But I do know this, that whatever happens tomorrow, I have the great consolation and encouragement of knowing that I can rest in the love and the care of God. I can be a Christian. I can press on, and I can rest in God's care. Then finally, there's something else I can do about my future, and that is I can take one day at a time. And I readily admit, this is one of the most challenging statements for me in all the Scriptures. In the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and in verse 34, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, that's a tough one. By the way, that's an emphatic command. You know, we talk about commands and examples and necessary input. Here's an emphatic command. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, the point is, I've got enough problems today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I believe this is probably one of the most important statements written in the Bible, but it is also one of the most difficult statements to obey. Don't worry about tomorrow, but rather focus on today. You know, Abraham Lincoln made this rather wise statement. He says, the best thing about the future is that it comes only one day at a time. That's true. Not anything you can do about tomorrow. Can't change it. Have no control over it. But there are things that you can do today that may affect your future. And one thing that you can do today is that you can learn to take one day at a time. Recognize that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. These things I can do. I can be a Christian. I can press on no matter what happens. I can rest in the care of God, and I can take one day at a time. So what does my future hold? I don't know. I can't predict the future. But I do know that today we have choices that we can make that will indeed affect that future. You know, in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, there is a statement made, first of all, in verse 17. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. I think he's talking to us. I don't know anybody in this room that isn't rich. Now, you may not think you are, but reality is if you have a rug on the floor and a TV in your house, you're rich. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't put your nest egg in treasure. Don't put your confidence in your things, in your money, in what you have. But rather, put your confidence in the living God who is willing to give us richly all things to enjoy. Then notice what he adds in verses 18 and 19. Let them do good. You know, you can do that today. He says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works. I can do that today, and so can you. Ready to give, willing to share. I can do that today. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's a great passage of consolation and encouragement. That if I make the right choices today, that if I have the right kind of character, I'm the kind of person that God wants me to be. If I'm willing to do the good works, rich in good works, willing to share, ready to give, then what I'm doing is I'm storing up treasure, real treasure, for that final and wonderful eternal home that God has promised to His people. You see, the real problem of man is sin. That's the problem. That's a problem you and I have. Because sin separates man from God. But the solution is Jesus Christ. And God has given us one more day and one more opportunity to obey Him, that I might get my life right with Him. Washed in the blood of Jesus, sanctified, cleansed from sin, walking a new life with new hope and new direction. If there's someone here today who needs to obey Him, you have one more day to make a very wise choice to come to Christ, that in the future you might enjoy the future blessings and eternal blessings that He promises. If you're here today and wish to come to Him, if we can assist you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song of Lord.